Hi guys, Pastor Greg Corcoran here from Battlefield Baptist Church. Pray that this sermon is a blessing, an encouragement, and a challenge to you in your walk with the Lord. Additionally, I just wanted to say that if we here at Battlefield can ever be a blessing to you, please don't hesitate to contact us. And the best way to do that is through our website at battlefieldbaptist.org. Again, I pray this sermon blesses you, encourages you, and that you'll fall more in love with God, more in love with His Word, and more in love with people. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we need Him now, don't we? Amen. In 2024, we need the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians this morning. And as you could see, I wore my funeral suit today. Black. A couple of weeks ago, I was joking with the Sunday school class a couple of weeks ago, and most of you know I don't dress this way very often. And so a couple of weeks ago, we were at the house, and my funny little honey said, "What are you wearing in a couple of weeks?" I said, "Clothes." And she said, "Stop it. What are you wearing?" And I said, "You know what? I said, I got that black jacket in there that I've never worn." And this is the truth. This is its inaugural ride on me. Yeah, Ben, this is the first time, so count yourself special, right? And I said, "I've worn those black pants with blazers and shirts and things, but I've never worn the full accoutrement of the black suit." And so I first pulled out, I had the black suit, the black shirt, the black tie, the black kerchief, and she said, "No." Then I pulled out the white shirt, and she had decided that I was going to wear just a black tie. I said, no, this is not a black tie dinner. This is not a formal affair. And I said, "I need some color, man. I need some color, a pop of color." And so then I convinced her that I would wear this rarely worn pink, hot pink kerchief, and I'd break out this striped tie, and she says, "Perfect, I've got a pink thing, it'll look good, I didn't realize we were color coordinating, but here we are. Man, it is good to see you this morning, and I want to zero right in, because if I talk too much, I'll start crying again, and Lord, I need you now. I think we find one verse. I told you that I was going to preach from one verse. What I meant was I would start with one verse. But I think the message for today is ebbed right here in Paul's letter to Philippi. And if you look with me in chapter 1, very quickly we will see our text for this morning. He's writing to this group of believers. By the way, this church was very, very dear to Paul. They had communicated with him in his ministry, and so he writes here, and notice with me in verse number 27. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to this church, he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. And I'm so grateful that we have an opportunity each and every day to sing and to show and to live in a way that brings you glory. God, I'm so thankful for how you've worked in my life and enabled me to walk with you all these many, many years. Certainly, you are still God. You are still on your throne. You have not abdicated your throne to anybody. And so you are God, but you are a good, good God. And you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so, Lord, I pray that today that you will open up the eyes of our understanding. And God, that if there's somebody in this room, somebody that is watching online, that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today, above all, above any message, above any type of platitude or recognition that could be given, that God, that today would be the day of their salvation. God, I pray for this church. I pray for these individual believers, Lord, that we might stand fast. That we might stand fast in one spirit. That we might strive. That we might continue to see this church strive together for the faith of the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help me. I pray that you'll strengthen me over these next few moments of time. God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, they would be acceptable in your sight because you and you alone are my strength and my redeemer. And God, I give you the praise in advance of all that you will do, all that will be said, and all that will take place. And it's in the precious and powerful name that your church, we all pray together, saying amen and amen. Well, I want you to know from the outset how that you and I, how we live our lives, how we live our lives as Christians. Really, folks, it matters to God. How you live your life matters to God. And if you and I, if we say, hey, listen, Pastor Greg, I believe the gospel. I'm a believer. You know the devil believes. And so do his minions. They believe, and the Bible says that they tremble. James tells us that. And so if you say that you believe the gospel, then the reality is that you ought to, and I ought to, and we ought to be living our lives according to and by the gospel. In fact, if you'll notice on the screen, the very word believe, it actually comes from the Middle English word beleven and the Old English word combined by leafen, and it literally comes from the phrase, watch this, by live. In other words, what is saying is what you and I believe, whatever you and I believe, that's exactly how we'll live. If you believe that the former Washington Redskins, now the Commanders, are going to win today, you might be sorely displeased later. If you believe that the Dallas Cowboys, you didn't think you'd get off easy today, did you? You didn't think, listen, if you believe that they're headed to the promised land, just wait until about week 16 or 17. You see, what we believe is what you and I will live by. If I say that I believe in Jesus, then I'm going to live according to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, right? That's going to be the impetus. That's going to be my strategy. That's going to be the roadmap of my life as followers of Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says that you and I, watch this, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Philippians 3:20, you can look at it in your Bible there today. I pray that you have it. You can look over to 3:20. The Bible says that our conversation is in heaven. In fact, Hebrews 11:16 talks about this place called heaven. It refers to it as a better country. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a better country one of these days. I'm ready to high step into a better country. Oh, listen, we need it in Christ. You and I, we have an incredible privilege. But I dare say, to whom much is given, much is required. We also have an incredible responsibility. We have a privilege, but we have a responsibility to live. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, and to the church of Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians 2:12, he said that you and I ought to walk worthy of God. In Ephesians 4:1, he refers to it, he says that we ought to walk worthy of our calling. He's talking about the privilege we have, this spiritual blessing that we have. And so the reality is that our conduct and the way that we live, it matters to God. But as you notice in this one verse of Scripture, the conduct of this church at Philippi mattered to the Apostle Paul. He's writing them from prison. And he says, hey, whether I'm able to come or else I be absent, hey, one thing I want to do, I want to hear of your affairs. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be waiting to see what happens in Battlefield Baptist Church. Amen? You say, oh, are you going to pay attention? Oh, yes. God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. You have a wonderful pastor and a wonderful pastor's wife who's ready to lead you. They're ready to get in the trenches. By the way, he's already been in the trenches. I would encourage you to follow the leadership of your new pastor each and every day. Have his back. Oh, listen, when he holds his hands up, somebody get to the left and somebody get to the right for God's sake and hold his arms up that God might do something in this place. By the way, don't leave Megan out, ladies. Don't leave her out. Come alongside her and love her and encourage her and lift her up. Oh, as you would your own family. Oh, the conduct of the saints at Philippi, they mattered to Paul. I got news for you. Your conduct matters to me. Your conduct matters to me as I step aside and I let this young buck, not so young anymore. I said, let's take a picture now because about 11 years from now, you're going to look like this. I said, you know, when I became the pastor, I had brown hair, at least a few of them, Pam. I had a few brown hairs left. Oh, your conduct and my conduct, it matters. It matters to God and it matters to me. So notice with me in verse 27, I want you to see some words. Notice the very first word in verse 27 is the word only. This word only actually comes from the Greek word monon and is derived from the root word monos. And notice what it means. It means remaining, sole, or single, and speaks of exclusivity. Therefore, look at the word, look at the phrase, look at the verse here, verse number 27. In other words, God's word is telling you and I that whatever follows this word only, watch, soul, singular, exclusive, he says whatever follows this word is how you and I are to live. Only live this way. Only live this way. Again and again and again. This is what Paul is saying in one verse of Scripture. Now notice the phrase that follows only. The phrase is, let your conversation be. And I'm not, listen, before you get too far, Paul's not talking about just the way you talk. He says, let your conversation be. It comes from the Greek word polytuomai. Polytuomai, it's the middle voice derivative of this word polytes, which is where, watch this, where you and I get the English word citizen. You see it? It's where we get this English word citizen. And such, it carries the idea of living and behaving according, watch this, according to the law of the land. Now, Philippi was a proud Roman colony. In fact, in that day, it was considered a miniature Rome. And during this time, Rome, what they would do is they founded different colonies throughout their empire. And the way that they would do it, there was one or two ways that they would do it. And the reason they founded these colonies all around the perimeter of their empire was to establish strongholds and also to guard against the barbaric invasions of people. Watch this. Now stay tuned. Don't turn the channel yet. They're establishing colonies all the way around. It's kind of a pretty cool military strategy, wouldn't you say, Dr. Blackwell, right? They've got these colonies that they're establishing, but did you know it take it a little step forward for your military science? They used veterans, watch this, they used veterans, military veterans who are about to retire, and they said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We'll give you citizenship of Rome if you will take your expertise, if you will go and you will establish these colonies to protect Rome all around the Roman Empire. Now what you need to know is what took place. These colonies, they would later be granted the distinguished title of a Roman colony because of their devotion. Watch this. Because of their devotion and their service to the empire. And so what we find, the distinctive thing about these colonies that were spaced all over the known world at that time, is they had a fanatic loyalty to Rome. Now stay with it. They had a fanatic loyalty to Rome. The citizens, in other words, they kept all of their Roman ties. Like, they kept the language, they kept the customs and affairs. They actually even kept the way that the Romans dressed. And so they would not allow, watch this, they would not allow any type of outside influence to sway them, from what they had become, a privileged, a distinguished Roman colony. Philippi was such a colony. It was a special place. It was a miniature Rome. And I believe that's why the Holy Spirit directs Paul to use this specific Greek word, polituomai, polites. He's referencing the idea of being a citizen of this country. And so while these words speak of conduct and behavior, they more accurately, watch this, they more accurately speak of our conduct and behavior as a citizen. Watch this, conduct and behavior as a citizen of a specific nation or country. You ready to pick it up? You know what Paul was saying? Paul wasn't saying, hey, listen, only let your conversation, only let your conduct and your behavior be as it should be for Philippi. No, that's not what he's saying at all. It was a great Roman city. But he's reminding these saints when he says, only let your conversation be. Right there, you can stop it right there. What he's telling these people is that you guys have a heavenly citizenship. Therefore, your conduct and your behavior ought to be according to what is right. Watch this, in God's kingdom. Not just in Philippi. Hey, battlefield, your conduct and your behavior shouldn't only be what's right according to Fauquier County. It shouldn't only be what's right according to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And believe me, Virginia is for lovers. That's why I'm staying in the state of Virginia. Listen, I'd rather be nowhere else than Virginia. It's for lovers. But this scripture is not even talking about only let your conversation be as it becometh of a citizen of the United States of America. It's saying that if you're in Christ, if you're somebody who's been blessed with all spiritual blessings, if your conversation is in heaven, if you're headed for heaven and you can't help it, then your conduct and your behavior ought to be according to the way it ought to be in God's kingdom. Oh man, somebody get excited for Jesus today. Oh, listen. Oh, I'm not finished. You thought that was the message, didn't you? You said, man, we're getting out of here early. He revved up quick. I thought he was going to say amen. Hey, you want to know something? If you'll do some grammatical studies, which make my mother-in-law very happy. My mother-in-law is a woman of grammar. She always taught the boys grammar. And you know how she taught them? By correcting their poor grammar. Whatever they'd say, she would say, excuse me. Oh, listen, I think she's told me a million times never to end a sentence with a preposition. Oh, listen, what is it? That's right, with, yeah, throw the with at the end, that's right. But look at this idea of conversation. Let's study it out just a little bit further grammatically, if you please. Because look, it says, only let your conversation be. And so what we find with this word conversation is, number one, it's set in the present tense. Therefore, Scripture is teaching you and I to conduct ourselves every minute, watch this, every minute of every day in a manner that is commendable of our heavenly calling. It's also found in the middle voice, which means that, guess what? No more blame game. You know what we like to do? We like to blame everybody else for our own failures. No more blame game. When this word is found in the middle tense, watch what happens. This middle voice means that you and I are to take responsibility for ourselves and how we are living. This is what it's saying, folks. The word also is in the second person plural, which refers to the fact that no believer is exempt. No believer is exempt from conducting themselves in a manner prescribed. And then lastly, the word and phrase is in the imperative mood. Oh, you know, when a pastor or a preacher or a teacher says it's in the imperative mood, people get nervous. Because the fact that it's in imperative mood means that it's a command. Watch this. But it's a command from the king of the country in which you live. What country do you live? Paul says you're a citizen of heaven. Therefore, our king is none other than Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what I'm saying? So whatever Jesus says, to quote that old preacher of yesteryear, whatever he says, it settles it. Sometimes that rubs our fur the wrong way, but like I always say, if it's rubbing your fur the wrong way, just turn that cat around. It'll be okay. Some of you will figure that out in about 30 minutes. Our thoughts, watch this. Our thoughts, our desires, our words and our actions. They matter. They matter to God. And so whatever we think, whatever we desire, whatever we say, whatever we do, it ought to be done in agreement with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If we're thinking something, if we're desiring something, if we're saying something, if we're doing something that is counter to Scripture, if it's counter to the Word of God, if it's counter to Jesus, then it's wrong. Just point blank, it's wrong. Listen, I didn't write it, I'm just sharing it. It's wrong for me too. And so we have to be careful. By the way, exercising faith, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ is only the getting in point, right? If you have enough faith to call out upon the name of the Lord, then tomorrow I'm going to call you to exercise some faith and walk in the Lord. Oh, listen, walk in a way that's worthy of your calling as ambassadors of Christ and citizens of heaven. We are to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of our calling, worthy of our position, and worthy of our eternal home. By the way, we don't do all these things to be saved. We do all of these things because we are saved. Faith without works is dead, James says. So don't get it confused. Don't put the cart before the horse. We're to live a life that is consistent with what and who we say we are. In fact, Titus 2 in verse number 10 points out that you and I should be adorned with the doctrine of God, our Savior. Watch this. In what things? In all things. This is the type of conduct that glorifies God. And so here you are. I notice, hopefully you have one of those beautiful trifold brochures brought to you by the new pastor, Pastor Travis. Everybody got your trifold? You ready for it? I'm going to give you the fill-ins, right? Here we go. First of all, I want you to notice that my hope and my prayer for you, my hope and my prayer for this church, is that your conduct, will always be consistent. That your conduct will always be consistent. Notice in verse 27, Paul said, "And whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit." Folks, truly our lives as Christians are to harmonize with our creed. What we say is how we ought to live, and how we live ought to be according to what we say we believe. And Paul's calling these believers to a consistent walk. In other words, he's saying, be the same all the time. In other words, like you are right now, if you're coming to God's house to worship the Lord, then be that way on Monday. Be that way on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and on and on. Don't be somebody different when the going gets tough. Be the same. Oh, Jesus is the same. Why not follow his example? By the way, this message of consistency was nothing new with the Apostle Paul. In fact, in his letter to the church at Corinth, here's what he put in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He says, watch this, he says, "Therefore, my beloved," he said, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, hey, I want to encourage you, battlefield, be steadfast. Don't be moved. Don't let this world, don't let the naysayers, don't let the discouragers of this world. By the way, there's somebody always out there to discourage you. Do yourself a favor. Stay away from them. When they start trying to discourage you, say, "Hey, listen, I'm a child of the King. I'm headed for heaven. I don't have time for that foolishness." You go find somebody else to discourage. And by the way, we'd do ourselves a favor if we would stop being a discouragement to other people. You say, "Have I been a discouragement to somebody?" I don't know, but if the shoe fits, you know we got to wear it. Listen, we have to be careful, little tongue, what we say, because our Father up above, he's looking down in love. Oh, we got to be careful what we say. Notice Paul, he writes to the church of Galatia. He continues this idea of consistency in Galatians 6:9. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." To the church of Thessalonians, Paul continued to speak of consistency, saying in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, "Furthermore then, we beseech you there, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk," notice what he says, "and to please God," not only how you ought to walk, but how you ought to please God, "so that you would," what? "Abound How much? More and more and more. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, a consistent walk is a walk that is going to please God. Oh, please, I beg you, be a consistent church. Jesus actually shares a principle that's worth noting in Matthew chapter 6. Maybe this is an unfamiliar place or a very familiar place for you. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, notice what he says. He says, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Sir, ma'am, young person, senior saint, you cannot serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Now, I get it. Some Bible scholar is going to come up and tell me later, Pastor, contextually, Jesus was talking about this. And so I found your reference to Matthew chapter 6 a little wanting. I would say thank you, sir, for your encouragement. But here's what I would also say. Yes. Contextually in this passage, Jesus is addressing the conflict that arises in this in our hearts many times. The conflict, you know, the flesh and the spirit, they war against one another. So he is addressing the conflict between serving God and serving self. But I would also say that there is a secondary inference to consistency. Because Jesus started out by saying, no man, no woman can serve two masters. You're either going to consistently hold to the one or you're going to consistently hold to the other. And if you're not, then guess what? We're just wishy-washy. And James says a double-minded man is unstable. If we're wishy-washy, then we're unstable. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we have to be careful with this thing. And so Jesus, even pointing out, says, no man can serve two masters. And so all of this being said, here it is, folks. A consistent life is going to be marked by three things. And I could have put 30 things, but I know Travis, Pastor Travis, has put a time limit on me today of 3 hours.
That was both services.
Well, I'm not preaching in the next, so that's up to you, brother. A consistent life, here it is, folks. Can I beg you to remember this? A consistent life is going to be marked by truth. There's a lot of people out there spouting as if they're speaking truth. But Paul told the church at Galatia, if somebody comes to you preaching another gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, let that person be accursed. And otherwise, in other words, stay away from that junk. Don't allow somebody to get you off on some other foolish doctrine of man or tradition of man. Listen, stay with the word of truth. Paul says, notice he says his desire here in verse 27. Look at it. We really don't have to go far. He says, stand fast. But then notice he says, stand fast in one spirit. He's referring, folks, to the same spirit of truth and the same spirit of peace that abides with us, that dwells with us and teaches us all things. In fact, Jesus referred to this Holy Spirit of truth as a comforter. Remember, he told his disciples, he says, I got to go away. And they didn't understand what he was saying. In John chapter 14, you can read all about it. He said, but don't worry, guys. I'm going to send the comforter that's going to be able to teach you and to show you all truth, all the things that I've said. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you what I said. Oh, that's good. Oh, be a person of truth. The consistent life is not a life driven, watch this, is not a life driven by my own opinions and my own attitudes. A consistent life for Jesus Christ is never about me. The moment, can I just remind some of you, whether you're here or you're watching online, the consistent life is never about me, it's never about us, it's never about you, if you please. It's always about Jesus the righteous, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, listen, this is what the Bible is talking about, that if we're going to lead a consistent life as citizens of a beautiful place that I long to see, a place called heaven, then we're going to have to be people who are driven by truth, truth from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the author of all truth. God the Son, or the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and Jesus Christ and His gospel, the Word of truth. But you and I, as men and women, as young people, as senior saints, you and I, we are to be men and women of the truth. Our lives ought to consistently communicate, a message that we are trusting in the truth of this word. We are trusting in Jesus Christ. We are trusting, we are relying, we are obeying. In fact, someone has said, as a wrestler grapples with his antagonist and strains himself for the mastery, so the Christian must stand against every enemy of the truth. Oh, we must remember that the glory of the gospel is connected. Watch this. The glory of the gospel is actually connected with the conversation or the conduct in behavior of those who profess it. If you profess that you're a believer, I got news for you. You know what? All eyes are going to be on you. People are going to be watching you. People are going to be wondering, hey, does their life communicate a consistent message of someone who says they believe the truth of the gospel? Oh, please be consistent in the truth. Also, a consistent life will also be marked by that four-letter word that we love to talk about. Virginia is for lovers. So I pray that your consistency will not only be marked by truth, but your consistency will be marked by love. Paul actually already mentioned this idea in the same chapter. In fact, look over across the page to verse number 9. In verse number 9, 10, and 11, notice Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Verse 11, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ." Remember, our righteousness is like a filthy rag, Isaiah says. But when we get Jesus Christ, we get the Holy Spirit, right? We have this fruit of righteousness. Watch what it says, "which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Oh, yes, friends, glorifying God ought to be key in everything that we do. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1 and 22. He says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth," there it is, "through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love of the brethren." That word unfeigned simply means sincere. Let your love be sincere. In other words, don't be a hypocrite. I can go to Walmart and find all kinds of hypocrites. We don't need them. Listen, don't be a hypocrite, because people, when they come in these doors, they're going to want to know, are the people sitting in this church, are the people who are worshiping Jesus, are we sincerely people of the truth, and are we sincerely people who are personifying and exhibiting the same love that Jesus has shown to us? And so, listen, a consistent life will be marked by truth, and a consistent life will be marked by love. A couple of weeks ago, your new pastor, Pastor Travis, he highlighted our biblical mandate to love God, to love His Word, and to love people. And I can assure you, that living out these great commandments and teachings of our Lord and Savior consistently will be evidence to all. It will be evidence to all of our abiding relationship with Jesus. Truth be told, if you say, "Hey, Pastor, I love Jesus." If you love Jesus, then you're going to admire Him. Hello? If you say, "I love Jesus," then you're going to admire Jesus. If you say you love Jesus, then you're going to trust Jesus. Not only for salvation, but for each and every day. If you say you love Jesus, you're going to feel more grateful to Him. You're going to want to spend more time with Him. You're going to want to exalt Him more than anyone or anything else. Watch this. Including self. You know what we do many times? We exalt self. That's what we do most of the time, to be honest. You say, "How do you know?" Because I went to Effie's the other day. My waistline didn't need Effies, but my heart and mind said I needed Effies. I rolled up in there. I'm just going to be honest with you. I had been to the dentist again. And I said, my teeth hurt. I need something cold. This is me talking to myself. You say, did you really talk like that? In my mind, I did. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I was on my way back from the dentist. I pulled over to pull in the church. And then just like Speed Racer, if you're over 55 or 60, you'll know who Speed Racer was. Just like Speed Racer, I pulled back out. I was like, no, I'm not ready to go back to the office. I'm just going to go down here. And man, I went up, and it's a beautiful thing at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can get into Effie's real quick. I went up and I said, I looked at the guy and said, are those peach shakes made with real peaches? And he said, yes. I said, that's for me. That's for me. Man, I enjoyed that peach shake. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little selfish with it. I came back up here on the property and I parked over in the shade. I didn't want to go in where anybody might see it and want some. She said I didn't bring her anything. You weren't here, to be fair. A little levity just to remind us that sometimes we exalt ourselves, don't we? Because we want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, and we want it now. I went in to do something the other day at a store, and the guy told me it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks. I was disgusted. I was like, excuse me, I thought I was the customer. I thought I got this thing now. And he said, yeah, come back on September the 20th. I said, that will not work. See you later. See, sometimes we're geared to self-gratification so much that, watch this, that we bypass our love for the Lord, and because we bypass our love for the Lord, we end up bypassing, watch this, our love for others. Oh, my hope and prayer is that you'll be consistent, that you'll be people consistently following the truth. But my hope and prayer is that you'll be consistently people who love the Lord. And because you love the Lord, that you will love other people. But above all, a consistent life will be a life that is marked by holiness. It's going to get real quiet, isn't it? I said the holy word. Holiness. We are citizens of heaven and representatives of our great God and King Jesus Christ. Every thought, watch this, every thought and desire we have. Remember, I said this a moment ago. Every word that we speak or every action that we take ought to be in agreement with what is right in God's kingdom. And for that to be the case, then we will have to be people who are exercising holiness each and every day. To the Romans, Paul put it this way in Romans 6 and 22. He said, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. To the church at Ephesus, or the saints at Ephesus, he writes in Ephesians 4, 24, to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To the Thessalonians, Paul went on to declare in 1 Thessalonians 4, 7, that God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And while writing in 1 Peter in chapter 1, beginning in verse number 13 and following, Peter, writing to those dispersed Jewish believers all over the known world at that time, this is why I love Scripture, because because Scripture confirms Scripture, writer confirms writer, that it was the Holy Spirit of God leading him all the way, because here's what Peter says. He says this, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Watch it, verse number 14. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy." Notice what he says. "So be ye holy in all manner of..." Oh, you see that word there sticking out like a sore thumb? It's not just talking about being holy in what we say. That's the same exact word. And it's talking about our citizenship and the fact that you and I have a heavenly home. Oh, he says, "Be..." He says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ." Oh, let it be holy. Oh, we must be holy. And I pray God will help us to consistently walk in holiness. And guess what? I'm so thankful that the Lord's mercies are new every day. And we don't sin so that grace could abound. Don't get me wrong. But if you blow it, and God gives you another opportunity tomorrow, then get up and do better. Anybody ever blow it besides me? When you blow it, get up and dust your knees off and ask God for some mercy and some grace, that you might try again and try again and try again and just keep on trying. Oh, listen. Heaven and hell are at stake. People are dying and need to know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And so my hope and prayer for you is that you'll be a church that is consistent, a life of consistency marked by the truth, marked by love, but also being marked by holiness. My hope and prayer for you also is that you would be united. That you would be united. Verse 27, "that you stand fast in one spirit," watch this, "and with one mind..." One mind, watch it, "one mind striving together." I spoke about this last month, so I'll not rehash the points of my message. But what I would say is that since Jesus Christ is the source of our unity, the root of true unity is oneness. One with Jesus, one with one another, that we would exercise true unity. In fact, the early church, I spoke about this and I shared information from the early church in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 44. The Bible reminds us that the early church had all things common. In verses 46 and 47 of the same passage, the writer of Acts goes on and says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." Let me just say something right here. Keep worshiping Jesus. Don't stop assembling together. Listen, "that I may hear of your affairs." I don't want to be hearing that people have dropped off the face of the earth the moment that Greg walks out of the pulpit. Listen, you got a pastor who loves you. You got a pastor who's praying for you. You got a pastor who is standing before the throne of God each and every day on your behalf. Oh, you need to support him and support his wife and be in this place worshiping together in the unity of spirit. Unity, it's so important. The early Christians were frequently exhorted to be one in faith, one in feeling, one in spirit, one in action. But if you read about the early church, even when you get over to Acts chapter 4, the bond, watch this, the bond of their unity was Jesus Christ, right? Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for us, right? The basis of their unity was Jesus, but that basis was built on the love of God. This is what drove them. And the reality of their unity, their desire was that the gospel would be taken into all the world. Oh, that ought to be the exact same thing today. Oh, listen, the early church was all about making much of Jesus. I pray and I hope that you'll continue to make much of Jesus. It's my hope and prayer for you. And as you do so, you're going to need to be united in a few things. And these are quick, so write them down quickly. You're going to need to be united in the faith. You're going to need to be united in the faith. There's one faith, one Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, right? As Ephesians 4, you can read about that in verses 4, 5, and 6. Ephesians 4, 4, 5, and 6 talks about the oneness there as believers. But you're going to need to be united in faith. It has been said that the success of the whole depends on the agreement of the parts. In other words, listen, we're one family, but the family has many parts. Amen? I heard Ernie amen it a couple weeks ago. He was sitting right up here. He was sitting right up here when Pastor Travis said that we're not all the same. And Ernie said, amen. He let it roar. He said, amen. We're all different. We're all different. Where's my amen, Ernie? Man, he was amening Pastor Travis. He didn't give me no amen. We're all different. Watch this. Some of us are hands. Some of us are feet. Some of us are eyes and ears and mouths and on. We're all one family. And so we're going to have to be united in the faith to carry the gospel into the regions beyond, not only just here in this area, but all around the world. We're also, listen, unity, I put in my notes, unity will be much easier to maintain as long as Jesus has the preeminence in everything that we do. When Jesus is number one, unity comes easy. When Jesus is number whatever else, then unity is a problem. Because when Jesus is number two, three, four, or five, or somewhere down the line, guess who number one is? And when we start pointing a finger at like we're number one, that's where discord and division comes from. Just make Jesus number one. Here, you're also going to need to be united in resisting common adversaries. Listen, you're in a battle together. Be united in resisting common adversaries. We're all battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen, the devil, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, we've got to be united. May we strive. May you strive to encourage one another. Strive to hold one another accountable. May you strive to stand up for the things that are right. And may you strive to put down the things that are wrong. And when I say put down, I mean put down and squash it. If you see something that's wrong, you squash it. As Barney Fife said, you nip it. Nip it, Andy. Nip it. I pray that this church will continue to stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross, lifting high his royal banner. As that song says, it must not suffer loss. You'll need to be united in one other thing. You'll need to be united in the development of serving. Uh-oh. Why did he have to bring up serving? You'll have to be united in serving and the development of other Christian graces as well. And when I say serving, I'm talking about you're going to need to be united in sharing and sending the gospel. People need to know about Jesus. And every one of you have a sphere of influence that I'll never have. That means that you know people and are acquainted with people and have relationships with people that I may never meet. You're going to have those same relationships with people that Pastor Travis may never meet. And so you have this sphere of influence. And so my encouragement, my admonishment to you would be to use that influence in a way, watch this, only let your conversation be. Use it in a way that is right in God's kingdom. And so I pray that you'll be united in sharing and sending the gospel. I pray that you'll be united in serving the Lord with gladness. I pray that you'll be united in giving yourselves completely to the Lord and that you'll be united in exercising hospitality. And we could go on and on and on, but I just say this, don't allow the devil or anyone else to deceive you. Don't allow the devil to distract you. And please, please, please do not ever allow the devil to divide you. Oh, you must be united. Be consistent, be united. And then lastly, and the people of God said amen. Well, I'll think about it. I'm sure we could find a few more here, Gary. Lastly, and I joke, be zealous. Be passionate. Verse 27, Paul says. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Listen, Battlefield, if you hope to live a consistent and a united life, standing fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, you're going to need to be zealous. That word zealous means passionate. You're going to need to be passionate about Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, the love and the truth of Jesus and His gospel should be the very thing that inspires our zeal. Listen, if you can't get excited about Jesus, I don't know what you can't get excited about. Because there's no other name given among heaven or given in heaven or among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, there is only one Jesus, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, if you have never trusted in Jesus, can I tell you this? Don't walk out of this place without Jesus. It blows my circuit breaker to be able to tell people of God's love, how God, the creator of the universe, listen, you want to get off on some junk? I'll have a discussion with you about creation. I got news for you. God created the heavens and the earth. Not some big bang. Not some gap theory. Not some all these other junk. Listen, God created the heavens and the earth. In the heavens and the earth, the Bible says they declare the glory of God. And what boggles my mind is that I could share the gospel hundreds of times with somebody and they would still yet not want to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, have you ever heard it this way? If I'm wrong, and I'm not because I'm great, but because God is great. But if I was wrong, what would you have to lose? Because you're headed to a devil's hell anyway. But if you're wrong, and I just, on the off chance, happen to be right, you got everything to lose. Don't leave this place without Jesus today. Because my Bible says that we're to boast not thyself for tomorrow. For we don't know what a day brings forth. My Bible says that my life is like a vapor. Your life is like a vapor, James says. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. If you don't know Jesus Christ, listen. Church, you see, here's the thing. There's people that come to worship and they're not sure. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so if you're walking a consistent life, if you're living according to truth, if you're a people of love, if you're a people who are holy in all manner of conduct, then guess what? That's very winsome. If you're out here gossiping, if you're out here talking about this, then people, when they come in, they're like, they're not really concerned about Jesus. That's why it's so important that we be consistent. And if they come in and they see that you're not really united in the things of the Scripture, if you're not really united with one another, then they don't want to have Jesus. Listen, our family doesn't want to have Jesus if we're not living according to the gospel. And so that's why our testimony is so incredibly important. But here's the reality. You want your friends, you want your family to know about Jesus? You're going to have to be zealous. And that doesn't mean half-cocked, running around stupid. That means passionate. That means passionately living for Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, and every day in a way that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, as Pastor Travis said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as we live our lives passionately, as we live our lives in holiness, we live our lives in truth and love and on, you know what God does? He says, I got news for you. I'm greater than all. By the way, I don't draw anybody to the cross. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God do that. My job is just to throw out the seed, to water the seed, cultivate the seed, whatever I've got to do. That's what we must be doing. Oh, be zealous. I put in my notes, the zealous Christian who is dedicated to growing his or her relationship with Jesus Christ has no time for useless or petty debates over things that will not mean a thing when it comes to eternity. Hey, listen, don't get off track. Don't start, listen, I'm about this. I like to discuss this. I like to discuss this. Hey, just tell people about Jesus. Don't confuse people. We've gotten so many people confused. And listen, I love to talk about eschatology, but we get people confused when you start talking about pre-mid and post-tribulation and premillennialism and all these things, amillennialism and all these things. People just need to know that Jesus loves them. By the way, I'm not saying we can't have those discussions. I'm just saying that when those discussions become paramount and Jesus doesn't, we're in trouble. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. By the way, whether you're pre-post, pre-mid, or post, if you trust Jesus, it doesn't matter. I'm headed for heaven, and I can't help it. One of these days, one of these days, these feet are going to start dancing. Yes, Krista, I'll be there when you get there. My point is this. Save yourself from wasting time. Don't waste time. Because this life will pass quicker than you think. Stay focused on Jesus and stay focused on reaching others. Do me a favor. Look across the page at Philippians 3 and I close. Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church here at Philippi, he shares a little bit about his pedigree and then he wraps it up really this way. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, notice what he says. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." I'll never forget you, battlefield. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before," Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now watch what he says. We typically stop there at verse 14, but keep reading. Because in verse 15, he says, "Let us therefore as many as be perfect." In other words, if this is wants to be your testimony, if this is what you desire, notice what he says, "Let us as many as be perfect be thus minded." Forget the things that are behind. If you failed yesterday, forget about it. Today is a new day. The Lord's mercies are new every day. Keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. "Let us, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded," Paul says, "I got news for you. God shall reveal even this unto you." Those who strive for popularity, those who strive for position, those who strive for power, do so and they miss the mark. Because the reality of the Christian life is that you and I together in a consistent manner, you and I ought to be striving together for the faith of the gospel. Battlefield, it has been my joy and my privilege serve as your pastor. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Be students of his word. Don't ever stop studying the word. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be a student of the word of God. Speak the clean and pure language of heaven, battlefield. Bear proudly the title of Christian. Oh, bear it proudly. And also, you can bear proudly the resident of heaven. You can bear, get a little name down. I'm an eternal resident of heaven. Carry on the affairs of heaven. Be clothed every day as a citizen of heaven in the armor of God. And whether I come and see you, whether I come and see you or else be absent, I beg you and I encourage you to live and to conduct yourselves as a heavenly colony. as a heavenly colony set in a very polluted environment. You know, when people drive by this place, they ought to see a glow. They ought to see a glow. Not just from the lights. I'm talking about the light of Christ living in and through each and every one of you. Oh, may God help us. May God help you. Pastor Travis, I love you. And I will never do anything but support you. I want you to know your pastor has my backing. Your pastor has my support. Your pastor has whatever he needs from me. Megan, you have whatever you need from my wife, and you have whatever you need from me. Can I encourage you? Don't try to be Krista. Please don't try to be Krista. No. Seriously. You are beautiful and special just as you are. You don't need to be the first pastor's wife, and you don't need to be the second pastor's wife. You just need to be his wife. And you need to love him and support him. And you need to train up that child. My surrogate grandson. You need to train him up, right? And teach him about Jesus. Travis, I'm going to ask you and Megan if you'll come right now. Chris, I'm going to ask you if you'll come. And church, I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we begin a time of invitation, I'm going to ask you one final thing to do for me. I'm going to ask you to recommit yourself. I'm asking you today to recommit yourself to living a life of consistency. Living a life of consistency. That means being people of truth, being people of love, people of holiness. I'm asking you to be a church that's united. And that means being one with the Lord, one with one another. And I'm asking you to unite behind your pastor and his wife and have their back as I will have their back. By the way, if you attack him, you might as well attack me because I'll be there to support him. Don't ever attack your pastor. If you've fallen into that game in the past, don't ever do it again. I love you. I love you. You know that. So I ask you to be consistent, be united, but above all, please keep being passionate about Jesus. Keep sending missionaries all over the world. Keep supporting missionaries. If you're here today, as we enter this time of invitation, music, you can go ahead and begin to strum. Oh, Lord, it's just you back there. Praise the Lord. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Time out. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can I tell you this? As simply as I can put it for you right now, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If the Lord has brought you to a place, the Holy Spirit has brought you to a place where you know and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, that Jesus, the Bible says he was buried in a borrowed tomb, but then he arose victoriously 3 days later, conquering death, conquering hell, conquering the grave. And he did all of this because of God's love for us. The Bible says God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Jesus did all of these things so that you and I would never have to experience an awful place called hell. And I got news for you. We don't have time to go through it, but it's an awful place. You don't want to go there. And if you go there, you'll be going as an intruder. It wasn't designed for you, and it wasn't designed for me. And so, if you've never trusted Christ, I'm going to beg you, in this moment, as we begin the invitation, I'm going to ask other men and women of God to come and to be here. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to simply pray quietly unto yourselves. You could do it right there where you're at. You could even start praying right now and ask Jesus to forgive you. Say, Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. By the way, it's not about a word or a prayer. It's about the recognition of who He is and who we are and the fact that we need a Savior. But you could just, something simple, you could say, Jesus, would you please forgive me? I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me and come into my life? I've blown it. But what I'm hearing this preacher say is that you have taken my sin upon yourself. You died in my place on a cross. And what he's telling me from the authority of God's word is that if I call upon your name, that you'll forgive me and you'll save me. You'll change me from the inside out. And so, Jesus, I trust you as my Lord and Savior right now. I beg you, don't walk out of this place without Jesus. If you're watching online, don't turn the channel without Jesus. You trust him right now. If you want to come and pray for your new pastor, pray for your church, right? I beg you to do that right now. As you recommit yourself, you come while I and Krista pray with your pastor and his wife.